Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, you could turn there with me. I'm going to do this in two parts, so we'll finish it next week. You would stand for the reading of the Word of God. Starting at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the world. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day, that this is the day you have ordained for us to assemble together. Lord, you have brought the people you desire to be here this morning to hear from your word, the truth, spirit and truth. Bless our ears, bless our hearts, that each one of us receive what you have for us this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 4, being assembled together with Christ. See, the apostles at this point were kind of scattered and Jesus was bringing them back together. But he commanded them, or if you will, ordered them to wait. Waiting is hard. Have you discovered that? As the song goes, waiting is the hardest part. Wait, wait, wait. It's like you go real fast for a second and then it's, wait. It's like driving in traffic. If you've ever been to some congested area, I'm from LA area, so trust me, I know what it is. You sit there in the freeway and it's like a parking lot and you wait. To move an inch, a foot, a yard. And sometimes that's the way we feel life is. Is waiting, waiting, waiting. Now the promise here is given waiting for what? For the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Father. How do we know that again? Joel chapter 2 says, and it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants, on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. In those days, waiting, waiting. But Jesus also promised it. In John chapter 14, he says, and will pray, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Speaking of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Notice too, verse 5, he baptized. Sorry, I lost my place there. 4, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That word baptize, you know what it means. It means to immerse, submerge. With what? No, with who? The Holy Spirit. Not many days from now. Now, there is something we have to touch on here because it kind of makes things kind of complicated. And to some people, it becomes something that they just bypass. What is it? Well, see, John already told us something in his gospel before this. He said this. Now, Jesus, when he came to them, said this to them, showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As to the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, what I believe happened here is what the Holy Spirit does do when you come to Christ. Jesus rose again from the dead. So I believe that in that instance, they were regenerated. See, the Holy Spirit has come to regenerate. Remodel? No, completely new. Completely brand new. Well, this sounds familiar, doesn't it? It should. Why? Because what did Jesus say to Nicodemus? Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? Be born? Jesus answered and said, most surely I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Each one of us. How? He goes on and tells them, as Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And it's not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. What he's speaking of here is being born again. You're born again. The Spirit has done a work in you when you received Christ. And so with the disciples, I believe. Second thing I would take note of is the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, you know it. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? In fact, Romans, we read this, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. When you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and does a new work. You are born again. He comes in, and what does he do? He indwells in us. You have the Holy Spirit. Right now. And so I believe did the disciples. The Holy Spirit was in them. Now, jumping it back, in John, Jesus said this, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. See, the Spirit convicts the world of sin, brings them to Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He draws people to Christ so that they were convicted of their sin and they have an understanding of something just as you did. You need a Savior and so do I. And doing that, then the Spirit has come in us. Just as Jesus said, he's with you, but he's going to be in you, he was telling his disciples. And like I said, at this point, I believe the Spirit was in them. But he did this also for another reason, if you will. Because see, the Holy Spirit then seals the believer, meaning, if you will, you are God's. And if you think about how important this was at this time because of the spiritual battles that must have been happening all around them. Ephesians tells us this, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. Complete. You're his. Just as the disciples. The fourth thing I would bring your attention to is the Spirit also baptizes the believing sinner. Now, understand this. The Holy Spirit baptizes. Luke is talking about something totally different than Jesus is saying. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. That word is epi. Or it can also mean over. I think even a better way would be overflow. See, the Spirit's in you. And if you will, you were baptized and what, as a believing sinner. In fact, in Romans, it says it this way. Do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into his death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, also you should walk in newness of life. Brand new. Brand spanking new. There's nothing better than driving off at a dealership in a brand new car. Isn't it the smell and everything else? Of course, me being the man that I am, as soon as I drive it off the lot, I go, oh my goodness, I've already lost probably $3,000 or $4,000 in equity in it. Prayerfully, this car will last for years to come, at least the past times that I'm making payments on it. But there's something good about new, isn't it? And see, it's something that, again, I want to share with you, because this is going to be a brief message, because there's really a lot of thinking through this, that you're brand new. Oh, you may not smell it because you still smell the rotten decay of your old flesh. You may not even feel it at times. But the truth still stands. You are and have been born again. And the other truth of the matter is the Holy Spirit is in you. But now, again, it's this matter of baptism that people have a problem with, because whether you want to think it through with me or not, well, I hope you do want to think it through with me, is it baptized, submerged, emerged, submerged in the Holy Spirit? Or is it overflowing? Remember what Jesus said on the last day, that great day of the feast? He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And out of the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke concerning the Spirit. It's to overflow. See, it's not just to be sealed. It's not just that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. That's enough in itself, just to think and contemplate that. We always think that something has to come from the outside. The reality is it's already there. The Holy Spirit's inside us. To be baptized is to be submerged in the Holy Spirit. Overflowing. It's like taking a bucket and let's go on a boat. Let's go in the deepest part of the ocean. And let's take the bucket and let's dip the bucket into the ocean and bring up some ocean water. Now, what's in the bucket's the same what's in the ocean. But the volume's totally different. Because again, it's limited. But it doesn't mean that the ocean is limited. And yeah, I know it is limited if you really want to get down to the scientific means of it. But to just simple-minded people like us, it seems vast. It seems unending. You know, there really is only one ocean. All the waters connect with each other. It's massive. Never run out. Now, let's take that bucket of water and let's just sit it aside for a while. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this. I have. I know it will happen. That water will start to stink if it's left out in the sun long enough, because it's just sitting there. It's just stale. But now, if we could put a pump into that vast resource of the ocean and then put the other end into the bucket and then just turn it on. What would happen is the bucket would then overflow. And if you let it go long enough, it would overflow into your boat, and then the boat would begin to sink. And then as the boat sank, you would be in the ocean even further. You can already get to where I'm going with this. The Holy Spirit just asks us, how much can I have of you? I want to overflow. I want to overflow. Hope doesn't disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God's Spirit so desires to just flow out of us. So Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It means basically, if you will, just be submerged. See, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not in selfish indulgences. But it's in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Now we kind of get to verse 8 again. See, God doesn't want to just flow through us so we can get giddy. So we can stand on chairs and Kevin back there can just start. Now, I will tell you this. I do believe in speaking in tongues. I wasn't trying to mock it. But I'm just saying, just act like fools. Or to, if you will, that we try to muscle up the Spirit. Come on out. To run around the sanctuary. To do spiritual jumping jacks. To bark like dogs. To laugh in the Holy Spirit, as it says. It's not for self-indulgence. It's to be as Christ. As Christ has come to, if you will, as the Spirit has come to witness for Christ, Christ has come to express the Father. And we, as children, believers in Christ, are now to, again, be representatives of Christ, to be His witnesses. See, to talk about Jesus is to talk about the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the goodness and the gentleness and the self-control that He had. Now He declares, it's now you are able to do it if you just let me flow through you. It's like we said last week, I believe, it's not how much you want the Holy Spirit. How much will you let the Holy Spirit have you to overflow? See, this is a passion of mine. It's something that I believe is ailing the church. I really do. Because, see, the Spirit unites. And that's the other thing that the Spirit baptizes us into one body. Excites us. Not to give us the warm fuzzies, but to fall in love. To fall in love with the one who died for us. Be all in. Because it's like that boat sinking, submerging. That's what God wants us to be with Him. But again, it's up to you and it's up to me. Because a lot of times we're okay with the bucket being full and we'll just set it there. And then we say, Lord, why isn't my life full of the joy that's supposed to be as a believer? And then He asks us, well, how much have you given yourself to me, because I've given everything for you. See, if you will, this is what it's all about. It's that each one of us isn't just that we're saved, but that Christ wants to use us for His purpose and His glory. And if you will, it's entering into His lordship, His kingship. And what that does is that it brings us purpose. It gives us a place. It gives us well-being. It gives us peace. There's no more struggle, there's no more strife because we are complete in Him. I don't have to impress you. I don't have to do anything else. There's no other thing that I need to do except just be in His presence. Just be His servant. Because see, the greatest in His kingdom is the servant of all. But how can you serve? Because that's not the human way. No, but that's the Spirit's way. No, would say, I don't want that. And then we sit aside our buckets. But Lord, I want more. Then give me more. Trust me with more. Believe me with more. There's a passage that is always, if you will, I won't say haunt me, but it just always has been like neon lights to me. Because waiting on the Lord is very hard. And Scripture tells us, though, really, if you will, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, in the Lord, because the honest truth is, our beginning to wait actually uncovers a real truth. What is it? Therefore, Isaiah 30, verse 18 says, the Lord will wait, that He may be gracious to you. And therefore, He will be exalted, that He may have mercy on you. See, the Lord waits for us. We always thought we were waiting for Him. But now the reality is nope, He's waiting for us. To come to, just as we had the Spirit convict us of our sin, realizing, I need a Savior. He's also waiting for us to go, okay, I'm done. All of it. I want you to take all of it. And I want you. I want all of you. I don't want you to hold back anymore. I might not get what I want. I might not get what I think I want, but I know I'll get exactly what I need, and I need you. It's not in anything on this earth. There's nothing that really sustains in this earth. Have you discovered when you eat in the morning, you're hungry at night? Always in need of something. Always, it's the next thing. Because in this earth, you can never be satisfied. Have you discovered that? I sure have. The only joy or peace we can find is found in Him. But again, is to say, I want to be used by you. I want your light to shine through me. I want your love to flow through me. I want your peace to pass through me. The importance of the Holy Spirit in one's life cannot be spoken so highly that it makes no sense. It is the power of God in a believer's life. An unfailing power, because it's not a force, it's a person. Jesus said, if you then, being evil, know how much to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The need for the Spirit to work through the church is why the church is so anemic and so scattered. See, when we go in our own ways, we get scattered. When we get into fear, we get scattered. We get confusion, we scatter. When we just don't have an answer, we get scattered. Everybody gets scattered, just like the disciples did. They got scattered. But again, notice this, Jesus assembled them all together. Said, wait. Believe. Trust. No. How the church would assemble together, not just this one, but all the churches, if Christ was truly set on His throne and the Holy Spirit reigned in the churches to glorify Christ. How the power of the witness of the gospel message would go forth. And we would stop being scattered. I truly believe that is what ails the church. And the byproduct of that is the Holy Spirit, as you walk in Him, you can't walk in the flesh. All of a sudden, the flesh And the reality of it is exposed. And the desire to fulfill it diminishes. I said it's two-part. It's two-part because there's more I want to say. But there's something that's really important. I ask you, just as I ask myself, how much of the Holy Spirit do you want to give Him? Now, I did give you a quote from Luke for a reason. Because it's not like you do have to wait. You can go before the Lord. And in fact, I invite you to do that. To go before the Lord and say, I'm struggling with this. I want to, but I don't want to. Be honest. Be truthful to Him. Because He already knows. Have you ever wondered why maybe you haven't understand what it meant to be overflowing with the Spirit? It's probably more than likely because you've never really asked. But even saying so with that, something else that brings to your attention, and some simple truth. Simple truth is, you really want Him. See, so many, He's the Savior, and that's good. I'm good with that. But are you willing to lay everything down and say, I'll follow Him? Spend some time alone with Him. Talk to Him. Ask Him what's keeping you from giving it all. It's been said, and it's true many times. Keep this in mind. Remember that boat we talked about being in the ocean? It's a dinghy. You know what a dinghy is? It's just a little thing. So you're just going up and down, basically. And the Lord says, give me the dinghy. You're saying, Lord, you don't understand. This is my dinghy. I mean, if I go out there, there's waters, there's sharks, there's everything else. I don't want to give you the dinghy. Give me the dinghy. I can't give you the dinghy, Lord. My food's in here. I know what you got in there. It's just a can of beans. Yeah, but it's my beans, Lord. Please. It's not my beans, Lord. I'll give you whatever you want. Look, Lord, you want this? It's a nice rag. And, oh, look, it's got grease on it. That's not what I want. I want the whole dinghy. No, Lord, look. Look, I'll give you my life jacket. That's your extra one. But still, it's a good life jacket. No, I want the dinghy and everything in it. Lord, is there anything else we can do about this? No, but this is the discussion that we'll have until you give me the dinghy. I mean, I love you. I'm here with you. And we're going to go through this storm and everything. But just realize, in that little thing, you're going to feel every wave. Everything's going up and down like this all the time. I'm with you, Lord. I'm not with you. Oh, Lord, I don't know what's going on. Where's the way? Lord, this is just too much. It's dark. It's lonely. The sharks are out there. Help, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's a nice sunny day. It's so calm. It's so cool. See, the dinghy's nice. It's fine. See, everything's good. Lord, I'm going to go fishing now. I'll be right back. Where are you going? You're in the dinghy. No, I know, but you know, I'm just going to forget about you for a while. And I'm going fishing. And that's the way we live our lives. Till finally, one day, one extraordinary day, we say, Lord, I'm done. If I perish, I perish. If I starve, I starve. Take my dinghy. Sure? Yes, Lord. Take the dinghy. Okay. And then He takes the dinghy, takes you out of the dinghy, and puts you on this massive yacht and says, it's yours. Reality. That's reality. Now, doesn't mean that everything goes rosy. But one thing is sure. That is the revelation, the appearance, fellowship, power of God is displayed day to day to day. What's your dinghy? What are you holding on to? My prayer is for you, is for me. Give it to me. Trust him. For the plans he has for you, he has declared, are good. Prosper and succeed. You call upon, he'll answer. But he waits. How much longer is he going to wait? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for your spirit, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of being called yours. We acknowledge that your spirit is in us. We acknowledge, Lord, the truth of your word, that he has sealed us, that he has regenerated us, that he has baptized us unto the death of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray, Father, we pray that you would bring us to the point that we give it all. Of understanding your Holy Spirit wants to do so much more than we could ask or think through us and in us. So Lord, my prayer for each of us that you would help us to come to that final conclusion so that you can use us to turn this world right side up. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.